Amen. Chapter 19, praying for what you already have, 2024. Seth, you're on my mind out there. Don't worry about it. Hard money lenders are a dime a dozen, and you serve a very powerful God. Pay no attention to these nonsense that comes across from them. We have to work on that. All of us have enemies that scare us to death, but we serve a very powerful God. That is one of the things we already have. Chapter 19, praying for what we already have, 2024. They say a cat has nine lives. From the things I pulled in my life, I could be dead way more than nine times. I think a cat looks at me sometimes and wonders, how do you do that? You get it? What do I have already to pray for? My life. My life I have to pray for. The prayer is what to do with it. What do I do with my life? To pray that every day. What do I do for him, not me? That's how I do better than my best. That's how I do it. I have to set my best thinking down. My best thinking, my very best, super best thinking can get me killed. With God, all things are possible, including a better Patrick. Praying for what I already have was a great relief. I could just talk to him about what to do and wait for direction or just take the direction. How did I know it was him? Because I was happy doing what needed to be done, and things started happening strong and real and solid. I looked different in the mirror. I felt different. Since I had nothing when I started with Jesus, everything I felt, touched, and experienced was an overwhelming emotional gift, and my heart was happy for each moment in the anticipation of what was happening and what was to come. Oh, I still concerned myself. I was worried and this, that, and the other thing, but I had and have Jesus. Philippians 4:11-13, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. A man once told me, I'm okay with what I have today, and I'm grateful as long as I know I'm going to get more later. His life is full of trouble, all the time, never ending to this day. 1 Timothy 6:10, yeah. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. I'm going to tell you a statement that I've never said. I've done about everything, but I haven't said this one. And I've seen terrible things happen because of this statement. Said by a believer, blessed many times over in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I refer to him as Bob, the confused believer. And this is what Bob says. I've seen it, heard it many times. Are you kidding me? No way. You only live once. I'm just getting started. Hell, I got in trouble a few times, but I learned my lesson. Don't get caught. More is better, and better I'm going to be. I got my health, a good life, a job. The kids are doing great. It's time for me time. Me time. I got a new plan, a side hustle, plan B. Hey, God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? Stop. 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 Those words have destroyed lives I have seen in my life over and over. All too familiar to all of us, and they're real, very real, powerful, powerful. Seductive and doable, very, very doable. That behavior is very doable. Greatness is not all it's cracked up to be. Don't chase greatness. If you believe Scripture, in the end, worldly greatness finds terror and hides from the wrath of God. Yeah, the greatest of the big guys, the superpowers, the super countries, the super nations. Revelation 6:15, dig this. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? Yeah, all this power, fame, glory, all of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reads, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. James 1:17 says, it teaches that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. There is nothing written that says, and when you're not satisfied with what you've got, I'll give you more. It doesn't say that. Rather, Luke 16:10 says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Praying for what I have did not mean praying for more. It meant praying to God for the wisdom to use what I have to bring glory and honor to Christ and his kingdom. To use what I have. I'm asking for more and I don't even know how to use what I have. That points me to what I call the treasure chest. One of my favorite concepts, the treasure chest. Treasure chest filled with God's gifts for me. In it, I find direction, Holy Spirit, who prays for me when I don't know how, gives me discernment in all matters, explains and utilizes talent, affords wisdom in matters I don't even know anything about it. Intercessory prayer to the Father by the Son, Jesus, on my behalf. All that's in my treasure chest. I've learned I can't change my shortcomings. Really important lesson. I can't change them. I can't change my character flaws. But I can learn to walk around them. I'm always going to like whiskey. That doesn't mean I should ever drink it. I'm always going to want to shoot my mouth off. Doesn't mean I should. I'm always going to want my way. Do I need to complete that sentence? Really? My shortcomings, my disabilities, if you will. If I purposely choose not to engage them, if I stubbornly withstand temptation by my own free will, guess who gets better? Well, why? Because I can't do that without God. I can't do it. I can't withstand temptation without God. I can't control my free will without God. You remember the movie, The Blues Brothers? So I can't do it without God. So as, let's see, me and God, we have an understanding. As quoted by the Blues Brothers character, Jake, played by John Belushi. 2 Corinthians 10. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That means I got to pay attention to my brain every day. My head is a dangerous neighborhood. Who wants to go in there by myself, right? Take captive every thought. Send it to Jesus for direction. Yeah? Yeah. God will direct me away from sin and disobedience in the moment every time. However, he has not taken from me, and probably you probably know what I'm talking about. He has not taken from me those things that cause me great pain. I have been given a lot, but he leaves with me things that cause me great pain to remind me, a thorn, as Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12. By the way, do I pray for that, what I already have? Yeah, I pray. Thanks for it. I'll talk about it in a minute. Thanks for that thorn. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect. Get that. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. What he's saying is, okay, I'll take the thorn, because in the pain, God prevails in the pain. His greatness prevails in my pain. So Paul says, I'll boast about my pain. I'll boast about it then, so that Christ may be given all the glory. So, do I boast about my sinning nature? Yeah, I talk about it. Is God right there saying every time, you want my help or you got this? Yeah, that's why I talk about it. That's why I talk about it. So that you know what I know and I know what you know. You know that I know that you know that I know, right? You got this? Probably not. If I don't sin when I'm faced with it, God had a hand in it. He has to have a hand in it. Because my nature is to immediately deploy my temperament. Again, praying for what I already have. My temperament? You kidding me? I pray thanks for my temperament? Yeah. Even my shortcomings bring me closer to God. So I give thanks for even my temperament and the challenges that temperament causes me. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It says it right there. Even my shortcomings work together for good. Only by God's hand, though, according to his purpose, capital H. Praying for what I already have, including my sinful nature? Question mark? Are you kidding me? That's a new one. I think about that. It's hard enough to call him when I know I need him, much less when I'm tempted to do something I should not, but every fiber of my being tells me it's the right thing, right? I talk about a silver dollar. It's kind of an interesting concept. Dig this. Consider yourself a silver dollar. You have a top and a bottom. Without a top and a bottom, the coin is worthless. I work the coin and take care of the coin, so my worth to the Lord is good. What? What are you saying? That boy has been drinking too much coffee. I work the coin, the silver dollar. Let's talk about it. Let me break it down. The top of the coin represents administration, responsibilities. A day to day, 9 to 5. Straight administration. That's all. The bottom is things unseen. Creativity, God, wisdom. The top is the linear mind, 9 to 5. The bottom, nonlinear, imagination. Here, 9 to 5 doesn't matter. In your imagination doesn't care about 9 to 5. You ever try to make something up, 9 to 5? By the end of the day, I'm going to figure out how to make $1 million. Yeah, good luck with that, right? But the top of the coin is useless without the bottom. Ideas fuel day to day, right? They work together to make you, to make me. You get it? A new idea comes from the bottom of the coin, creativity, what I call the breath of God. Creativity, the bottom of the coin. And that idea now moves to the top to be a functioning part of your life. A good idea gets into production, doesn't it? Could take 5 seconds to make a good idea. Or, unfortunately, in our life, we want to have it right now. Sometimes it takes a lot longer. Is that part of my treasure chest? Part of what God gave me? Part of what I already have to pray for? Well, it actually is my treasure chest working. I have a nonlinear mind. I have creativity. I have a connection with God if I want to use it. My treasure chest working. And then if I want to deploy those good ideas into my life. Yeah, so it's part of my treasure chest, learning how to use what God has given me. I gotta pray for it correctly. Why do I have to pray thanks for what he's given me and to use it correctly? Because I can use it in reverse, incorrectly, just like everything else. Can you imagine the top of the used for administration of dishonorable tasks and the bottom creating and imagining new dishonest and hateful ideas? Dishonest, disrespectful, unlawful, against God. We can think of all that stuff too and put it right into administration, can't we? That coin put in motion would be, as they say, a plug nickel. When you do it the wrong way, that thing's worthless. It's a plug nickel. You're worthless. A plug nickel. Certainly not a beautiful silver dollar, right? Pray, my friends, that your mind is guided by the Holy Spirit, nothing else. Proverbs 4, 6, 7, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. Seems to be that's more important than money, property, and prestige. More important than fame and glory, baby, wisdom. Wisdom, pray I do, and ask to teach me the tools in my treasure chest and give thanks for the rare and infinite coin he has made of me. A treasure chest, all for me, powerful and made from a divine God, divine gifts, divine understanding, all for me to use and give back myself as a silver dollar to the one who allows me to shine. How much prayer will it take to learn these gifts? A lifetime comes to mind, but each day, a little better than the last, right? Why would I pray for anything else? Because I'm flawed. Get it? Afraid and weak. I forget to align myself with Scripture, the promises and prophecies, rules and directions given by God. He has promised if I can hold myself together in prayer. He promised. If I can hold it together, if I can stay on course and withstand the arrows, He promises, well, let's read it. What does he promise? 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a pretty big scripture. How do I know it's true? I got to bank on it, baby. I got to lean on that one. I got to know that that what he says is what he does. And how do I know that? Because everything in that book he said he was going to do, so far he's done it. This is a big one. He's going to come and rescue me and take me into the air. Wow, he's going to take you, rescue you? It's a big one, but I got to believe. Otherwise, I'm left to believe in what? What am I left to believe in if I don't believe God's word? Think about it. Do I think in November either candidate can change the course of God? Do I think either candidate can change the course of God for America? I do not think either candidate can change the course of God. God will do what God will do. Still, I pray for what I already have, the freedom to vote. You know how many countries do not have that freedom? So what about the candidates? Well, I know with one candidate, I know it's hard to hear, but with one candidate, there will be less babies dead with one candidate, less children mutilated by government standards. Oh, yeah, and more parents able to actually parent children without government intervention. Yeah, kids, it sounds horrible, and it is, and it's here. It's here. Things are looking pretty bad out there from a biblical perspective and by the fire of war all over the world. And we're worried here about what? Such nonsense. We're worried here about what in November? Such nonsense. That's nonsense. There's fire all over the world. We're worried about what? How fast we have free abortions out in front of the Democratic convention? Free vasectomies? This is what we have come to as the country of America? No Bible, no God, no church? Government intervention on how you raise your children? Changing little boys to little girls to little boys? This is what we've gotten to? This is America, the land of the free, blessed by God. Revelation 3:18, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Your crown. What would I say to both candidates given the opportunity? Same thing I say in the mirror, 1 Peter 3:11. Turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Let me say it again, 1 Peter 3:11. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Do you know what the crown of life is? The crown of life. Look it up. You can't do the crown of life without God. Does either candidate know about that? I don't know. Chapter 19, praying for what you already have. Best you understand that everything you have could be taken away from you in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. This moment, this very second, is worth many, many prayers of what God could do with what you have while you have it. Be a shiny silver dollar worth the crown of life. Give to God back what he has given to you. Better than your best, in supplication and prayer, ask him, what do I do with what I already have? Show me, Jesus, help me, direct me. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life, doesn't that sound big? Do either candidates approve of that message? My name is Patrick, and I approve of that message. Does either candidate approve of that message? Does either candidate even know of that message? Ask yourself these important questions. Kids, God will give America what we deserve. And if you remember, he did the same for Israel. So many thousands of years ago, he gave them the king they wanted. Long story short, nothing worked out for 400 years. He gave them what they wanted. And nothing worked out for 400 years after that, with a great deal of pain and suffering to the whole nation. Pray for God and what you already have, and ask him if you can keep it. And continually ask, what would he have you do? What would he have you do with what you already have? And oh, by the way, one of those gifts, the freedom to raise your children according to the Bible. The freedom to raise your children according to the Bible. Kids, pay attention. Chapter 19, praying for what you already have. 2024, John, let's pray for what we have and get back to business.